One M.
I can't do it.
You've been practicing that in the mirror, haven't you? Pro League,
the lobby. Welcome to the lobby with me, Danny G. It's a little bit different today. No Owen, no Psycho.
I'm going to cry about that, actually.
I know
he's already
are.
Cried about it. He's been shedding tears.
We need to introduce this new voice that you are hearing. Now, I'm really sorry, Lena. I already messaged you recently. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, congratulations on joining at the BFBS Esports team. Social media.
Social media manager.
Oh.
Manager sounds very formal for what I actually
do. Welcome to the team. I messaged, so we knew that you'd got the job. I've been hearing Lena constantly thrown around in the office, and I went, oh, okay, cool.
Who's
whatever.
That? Yeah.
I'm so sorry. We met over a year ago, and it wasn't until we got each other on socials, and I messaged you, and I went, oh, it's Affinity.
Yes.
It's me.
So you respond by both, though, right?
I do. It's kind of like my alter ego is Affinity is when I'm doing broadcast talent work. So realistically, today is Affinity's here. Lena is what people call me and my parents when I'm in trouble.
Yes. Yes. It's like, so Danielle for me, like that's what, oh, I'm in trouble.
You know, it's visceral, isn't it? You're like, oh, no.
Childhood trauma, like coming back. Well, talk to us a little bit about your journey into getting this job then. Because like, obviously you were doing a lot of, what do we call it, because I learned a lot of words last year,
freelance.
The BFBS Pro League, what was your role last
year? I was hosting, usually do a lot of commentary as well. Jonah's already looking smug to my left here, because I actually wasn't going to apply for this initially. Is I went for Jonah's job when the first one came up. That's the
ritual. It's the ritual in the department.
It's come full circle. Is that I went for Jonah's job. I was like, you know, top four, second stage interview. They went with Jonah, which, you know, we can argue about how the outcome of that's going. No, I'm joking. You're amazing, mate. But I went for that. And speaking to Rob and the team and working on the Pro League, is I knew it was something I really wanted to. I wanted to be on the team. And, you know, esports operation manager, Owen's title, not really my ballpark. Social media, I've done a lot of, part of being in esports is kind of being chronically online. So I wasn't originally going to go for it because I don't have much video editing experiences. I've got a lot of experience posting. I've got a lot of experience being on the internet, but not a lot of experience at putting really refined content out there. So I wasn't going to. And then Jonah messages me, goes, hey, don't know if you saw. And I went, no, I saw. Not going
what
for it.
What do you want?
Exactly. Wasn't that he started with how are you, and I was like, what does this man want now? But I was like, oh, I'm not really planning on going for it. I don't think I meet all of the criteria. And it's that stereotypical thing, is that men apply for jobs that they meet 5% of the requirements for, but women will only apply for jobs they meet 95% of the requirements for. And I was umming and ahhing about it. Jen was like, just go for it. You'll miss 100% of the shots you do take. My response was, I miss 100% of the shots I take as well. But I went for it. Interviews were nice. It was always a little bit weird because I know the team, and I'm friends with Jonah. And so doing the interviews and being really formal with somebody that, you know, I queued Valorant with the night before was always a little bit weird. But yeah, I started on Monday and absolutely thrilled to be here.
I'm personally really happy to have you join the team. Like I said, battle of the sexes today.
I'm so happy to be joining you, Danny. Ever since we met, I've been wanting to work with you again. Like nothing else.
Joe plays her so much, bro. What the heck?
No. Did you have a military background as well, though?
I did. My dad was in the RAF, so I spent the first 10, 11 years of my life, you know, jumping around places. I'm one and familiar with the march out cleaning and the trauma that comes from that. Yeah. I have a very messy bedroom now, and I like to blame it on the fact that I never have to clean skirting boards ever again. But yeah, I was born out in Munich, actually, and I lived in Cyprus, bunch of places over the UK. My dad left about, you know, 15 years ago now, so it's been a while. But I was very much raised in the military with BFBS on the TV and in the cinema, so full circle moment now.
We were chatting about this, actually, something completely unrelated, but earlier on today, about saying that when you're in the military, there's two types of people, that when it comes to you leaving service, you either join BFBS or you go, no, I'm not joining BFBS. No,
I swore I would never do anything even military adjacent, because I hated it growing up because I was moving around a lot. I don't really have childhood friends or whatever. And then this came up and I was like, ooh, maybe I might circle back to this.
So happy to have you a part of the family. Because it is your first time on the lobby, we need you to say the lobby.
Oh God,
as
I'm really
our
scared.
Does.
I'm really scared.
Do you want us to do it first?
No.
You're just going to go for it?
Okay.
Go on, you know, do it. Do the welcome to you're listening to.
You're listening to The Lobby.
Yes.
I'll take
good.
It.
It's good.
I'll, More practice needed. Yeah, more practice.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. Exactly. You're not going anywhere, Chica.
What do we call it? What's the scale? Is it like, it's not like the Richter scale. It's like the lobbyist scale.
Well, we've already done the cheese scale when we were harmonising with Owen. Okay,
yeah,
so we've already done
that's
that
true,
one.
That's true.
Well, somebody else that we need to introduce to today's podcast of The Lobby is our very own Simon Hunter from our Forces Sport Department, the man that you go to if you need anything to do with sports. How are you doing, Si?
Very well, thanks. Pleasure to be on with you guys. And I just listening to Lena chatting there, and great to have you on board with us. It's getting me excited for what's ahead.
I mean, we worked together on the Pro League and it was amazing. Yep. So I'm thrilled to be here with just such a star-studded room.
Oh, stop. It feels like family.
We're all swooning here, you know, the blush. Danny G's face went from, I guess, it's sort of a, you know, the normal colour we see your face to that kind of reddish beetroot shade very quickly, didn't it?
I'm very easily flattered, okay? It's all I'm going
to
say.
You don't need to keep glazing us, by the way. You've got the job now. You don't have to keep, like, sucking
on. Oh, no! I stopped glazing you before I even went for the job, Jonah.
Briny points. I love it.
Yeah. Well, look, obviously, you heard our affinity, Alana, do this.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Lobby. Can you please introduce it?
Absolutely, yeah.
This is going to be big. Watch this mind level.
Here we go.
In the hot seat now. It's under pressure, aren't I? Yeah, got to do it right. Welcome to The Lobby!
Yay! That's the stuff. Longest intro of a podcast we've ever done.
Has to be done,
I'm here for it. Si, you're here today to talk to us on this podcast about stigma is quite a big word. I know I used criticism, I think it was last week, teasing what we were doing.
Yeah, I'd say same ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, about is esports a sport? So we're going to delve into that a little bit later on. But thank you for joining us for the whole thing.
A pleasure.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Well, at the moment, yes. That's something ominous about that statement. Are you sitting comfortably? I think
right now, right at this very second.
Yeah. So far, I'll say I'm sitting comfortably. Yeah.
Right, you strap in. So, what's been happening then this week? Where have we been? Obviously, you know, you're brand new as well to this affinity. So, where have you been? Where have you been going?
We have been to Australia.
And back.
Not physically, obviously. Oh. But the BFBS Pro League, we initiated race number 6.
Yes.
6.
You're already looking, Jelena, to go, what are we doing?
Next week we'll make that joke again, actually.
It's been so long. But no, we had a great race. A few hiccups, but we'll get into that. A few hiccups. A lot of players, it's just they're very keen to get racing. We kicked off in Australia in the Australian Grand Prix on F1 25, which is obviously featuring this year in the Pro League. We had a great race and a good turnout as well. Initially, I was a little bit scared because we only had 2 sign-ups when I logged on. And I was like, guys, we're racing
Hello?
Tonight. Hello.
Is anybody there? Like Jim Carrey in that GIF.
It's not like it's been every Monday for the past 5 weeks as well. It's not like we've changed days.
Yeah. No, is that the lowest amount then? That must have made you sweat a little.
I was panicking, especially with Owen off this week. I was like, what do we do? Anyway, so I put a message in chat and everyone was just like, oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to press the sign-up button. And I was like... Guys, please.
First hurdle done.
My little heart. But no, they finally got. We have 15 people on the grid, so good turnout again this week. And it was utter chaos. We had a wet qualifying session.
Wait, did you make it rain? Is that what you're saying?
No, the game made it randomly.
Oh, the game did. Because I only learned from Owen, didn't I? In the last couple of weeks, you can change like the temperature and everything of the track, and it affects the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a wet qualifying, so it was absolutely chucking it down. So everyone was on wet tire, wet compound tires, flying around. It was a big sort of 1v1 battle, really, between, I think it was it Proven and Phoenix?
Yeah, which is weird, because Phoenix is usually undisputed at the top. But he had a little bit of competition, well, in the qualifying, but...
Yeah, so we got through qualifier, and normally what we do is take a nice 10-minute breather, everyone go get a drink, everyone, you know, grab a bowl of popcorn so you can eat that.
I have risotto waiting for me.
Yeah.
I was devastated.
So she'd gone downstairs and we're sat there like, oh cool, we'll cut to a 10-minute break. And all of a sudden I see boop, boop, boop. I'm like, uh-oh. And then I'm like, messaging Lena on Discord, come back!
It just started the next round.
It wasn't, because what happened was the qualifying finish and they started the race and we hadn't left yet. We were meant to go to a break and we didn't.
Yeah.
It was the false start that we had to reset on the actual race that I'd gone for because I thought we'd started the actual race and
so basically, in order to initiate the actual race itself, the players have to ready up right? But the problem we had is that as soon as one person readies up, then it's go time, basically. So we had five or six players on the grid, like just sat, their cars were just sat at the start line. Everyone else is just whizzing past and they've all gone to go and get drinks and stuff. So we're like, what is going on? Anyway.
So did you count it in the end or not?
No.
I'll tell you what though, I blame Owen.
Yeah, it went in and out, blame
Owen. Sorry, Owen.
But so we put a message in the chat, we're like, right, guys, we're going to reset this race. So we've learned our lesson. Do not trust players with anything because they're so keen to race. So, yeah, we had a nice restart. Chaos off the first bat, by the way. Stevie Mack plowing into another driver and DNFing him straight on the first corner, which is great.
No beaching. Get that right. No beaching
this week, but there was plenty of drama. But somehow we still managed to avoid a safety car.
We got a virtual safety car.
That was on the first attempt, should we say, at racing. But,
yeah, I mean, because I was asked to clip some of the highlights for this, and I was like, I don't really know the intricacies of the battles like the wonderful Owen does. So I just went and clipped as much chaos as I could. I was like, there's a crash, yeah, that'll do.
There's lots of people spinning out on the Australian circuit. Like, we're really surprised.
It's a non-contact sport, apparently.
I don't really believe it.
It's like rugby, though, isn't it? It's a if you do tag rugby, it's a non-contact sport, but it always turns out into full contact. Yeah. Si knows all about that, obviously. But overall, really good race, good turnout. The drivers had a great time, bar the ones that got DNF'd off in the first corner because they're getting ploughed into. But other than that, no, it was a great turnout. We had a good time.
It was amazing.
But yeah, ready for next week.
Well, can we hear some of those highlights that you put together, please? Go!
And the lights go out and we go. Racing is a bit of a weavy pull away from Phoenix up at the front as they try to warm their tyres as best they can. Proven takes the lead, though. Stevie Luke into the first. There's loads of drivers leading the session. As we see Phoenix off into the grass and the gravel, and oh my goodness, loads of drivers leading. I think we are going to have a red flag here, and this could halt race pressure. We watch Stevie Mack here. Now on the back of Chewy, that's a day late and a dollar short for Stevie Mack in towards turn three. He was getting that move done whether anyone else liked it or not and forced off the track by Bomber. But Chewy again, proven having a bit of slide there. We saw the exit of turn 13. We ride again here as Fleming looks to the inside, feints the outside, sends the inside into turn 12, goes deep, the switchback from Stevie Mack. Take a bow, because that was simply spectacular.
But it looks to be that the game has deemed it that way, and that's contact.
They know how many opportunities you have to pass. And again, I think he's going to use the DRS maybe to his advantage. No, he's waiting. He did not wait. He tries the outside of three. He'll open up the inside of four. And there we go. Stevie Luke, with a little bit of false confidence from us here at the commentary box, gets back into second place.
Potential overtake to happen here on the exit of 11. Plenty of speed. And it looks like, oh my goodness, Stevie Luke has dived down to make it three wide. Ooh. And that is a three-way contact piece.
Sorry for passing you a load of notes during that.
The amount of question marks is mental.
But we've got to explain, though. Obviously, I don't know if you heard last week's podcast, but I heard something avocado, didn't I? And it was Ricardo?
Daniel
Ricardo. No. It was... Ricardo.
And I heard avocado. Yeah, avocado. So it started a whole chat, and I keep mishearing things. I thought I heard de-icer at one point, but the one thing I definitely know that I heard, which I would like to get your impression of, Chewy.
What a name.
I can't do it.
You've been practicing that in the mirror, haven't you, Jonah?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I'll be replacing the main actor anytime soon, but...
No, not quite.
Sounds absolutely epic, though. Only 2 weeks left to play F1 26. Then we move on to League of Legends and Rocket League. Mm. But remind us, like, who can sign up, who can play?
So you got service, obviously, our service personnel. So those people actively serving are veterans and both of those groups are families as well. So whether you're a brother, a sister, a mum, a dad, a son or daughter of those people that are serving or have served, then you can participate in the league. We've also got our cadets, our bereaved community, and our MOD civil service as well. So anyone can get involved who are from that bracket, and just need to make sure you jump on our website, bfbsesports.com, sign up and also verify on our Discord, which is discord.gg/bfbsesports.
And none of this leaving it until the last minute nonsense, otherwise you'll make our Jonah sweat,
no,
okay?
Please don't. I'll cry, bath and vomit. It's the same thing, but yeah.
There's an image. Where are we going to next, though?
We are in Suzuka,
Japan.
Ooh.
I know. Not Sazuka, as I spelled it on all the graphics last week. Luckily, our team.
Thank God you're here, Finn.
Oh, somebody's got to be able to read.
Yeah. We were talking about counting last week. Do you mind? Because obviously, Discord, the community. How's your counting challenge thing going?
Oh, it's going good. Let me look. We're at.
Have you heard about this? You were part of this?
Oh, yes. I have been roped into this to help him with his engagement numbers.
What number are we at? So basically, you take it in turns in like a chat box. Imagine you're in a group chat and everybody just like can put a number. But if you do the same number in a row, boom, you're out and you start again at zero. You're trying to get to like, what, 10,000?
10,000, yeah. So
you were at two last week.
We fumbled a few times since the last podcast.
You fumbled it. Let's not beat around the bush.
I fumbled it during the last podcast. But since then, we've had several fumbles, mostly from Stevie Mac, by the way. But we're at 107.
Yeah, bit of a way off. Can I tell the story about the two-factor authentication whilst you're on the subject? I've told this so many times now. So you were logging into all of my devices, right? And 2FA codes on Jonah's phone. And he's reading that out. It's like, 7-4. And I'm like, 7-4. Oh, it's saying denied. And we try it again. And then I look over. And then I'm like, that's a 9, Jonah. That's a 9. And we've been inputting it wrong for several minutes.
Don't look at me as if I've got advice for you. I don't.
Just help.
He just walked off. He just got up and walked off. Surprised you came back.
Wow. Just give me a minute.
Numbers are not my strong suit, okay?
What else is happening within the community, though? What's the chatter, obviously? Because the big days, the big moments for you are when you're actually, you know, doing the competition. But there must be chatter constantly.
We were up, like, I think it was like, we had our weekly meeting with our boss, Adam, this week, and we're like, we're up 200% on Discord activity, so the yapping is getting a lot heavier in the chat. We've had people talking about new jobs, career prospects, new careers and prospects.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lena joining the team. We're going to put that announcement out later this week, just so everyone's like, whoa, Lena's here.
We're already doing that.
I mean, everyone kind of knew because there was actually a post on the Instagram story.
Yeah, there was.
A number of people have messaged the account. It was like, wait, did you get somebody in to do this?
Yeah, we're like, yeah, finally, we've got someone to post to our social media.
Pleasure to be here.
Much to our producers' happiness now. But other than that, yeah, just lots of shenanigans going on about people blaming each other for racing incidents and things like that from the last Pro League. Loads of subtle digs to each intercept.
A little bit of raid baiting, like.
Yeah. We got, but the TikTok that we posted,
by
the way, loads of rage bait, but especially from people in the company, by the way.
What?
What was it?
Look, if there were any comments about the roots of my hair, I'm going to be...
That was what I was like. Do you see the amount of craze on their heads? Anyway.
Oh, personally, I don't even need to jump over the desk to hit you for that one. You're wonderful, Danny. Don't listen to him.
Thanks. Go on, rage bait. What? I didn't see this.
Like, it was people going... You're not supposed to say the name of the game, like, and all that sort of thing. You know, Nessa from our technology.
Well, yeah, because Owen actually did say animal or something.
Yeah, but I said crossing. So
yeah,
but do you know what?
It was animal then crossing, and then of course they didn't even vote you. So I was like, how on earth have you managed to mess this up so badly when you cheated?
Look,
I'm so glad you're
here.
Bottom
line is, it was great content, and we got more people rage baited and more likes and more comments than we probably would have if we'd done it normally. To be fair, so, if anything, we're just on the third level. They're just sat there. We're playing chess. They're playing checkers. That's it.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's very Dalai Lama of you, Jonah. Yeah. I think I need to mention Cosford. Is that where you're going soon?
Yes,
Sunday. You're going loads of events at the moment. Talk to us.
So Sunday, off to RAF Cosford for the Cosford Air Show. Obviously, we had the heartbreaking news that Riyadh has cancelled this year. So we're expecting Cosford to be a lot bigger than what we first anticipated. So we're bringing all the gear. We still have no idea, obviously, but we've got all the gear coming. So we've got three gaming PCs. The Simrig's going to be there with a hot lap challenge. We're going to be talking and getting people to sign up to the Pro League as well. But yeah, just great time to come chat with us and have a go on some of the gaming kit. But no, we're going to have a great laugh.
Oh, I'm so, so, so jealous. That's my neck of the woods, by the way, RAF Cosford.
Yeah, you're from the Midlands.
Yeah, try that again.
What was that accent?
I sounded Welsh.
Say
A up Doug.
That's a little bit Stoke. That's a little bit further than where I'm from.
I spent 3 years in Stoke, so the Midlands is a scary place.
Well, yes, it's an interesting place. I'll say, I'm your baby, Maroit.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
I know it is.
I did live in the Midlands for, a year and a half. So
a year and a half longer than most people would want to.
Hey, all right, okay, look, this is rage bait. This is rage bait.
It's just turning into an exercise of how many people we can tick off on the list to annoy in this podcast. Yes. So that's what Jonah's,
let's see who's left.
Who are we missing?
No, look, have the best time, because I love RAF CrossFit, and the air show was always really big for me growing up, not really having a connection to the military, but used to go to it because it was the local RAF base. I used to go to the food festival as well there. It's incredible. Have a really good time.
See, I used to get taken to the air shows because my dad would be like, there's fairground rides, just go, and I don't have to babysit you for a couple of hours. So I mean, I'm looking forward to going back for that.
A bit of reminiscing on your childhood.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, look, I think it's time that we reintroduce our very own Simon Hunter to
the lobby.
Yay! Well, thank you for coming on with us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about what you do? I know that you know us in this room fairly well, but what do you do at BFBS?
Yeah, for viewers, listeners, I cover a range of sports. I'm a sports lover, which helps, of course. So I broadcast all sorts of military sport, from rugby, cricket, football, all the way through to the likes of climbing and boxing and things like that. So it's an amazing job. I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's been amazing to be involved with Pro League. I had the pleasure of hosting last year at Stoke and going to chat to some of the players in the build-up and doing some interviews and things as well. And joining you guys in this year's coverage as well, it is spectacular. It really is.
Well, you've already answered my first question in terms of, like, you've just mentioned who you are, the fact that you are the sportsman to go to, which...
One of them, maybe.
Yeah. And the fact that you're here answers my first question then, I suppose. Is esports a sport?
A sport.
That's the question on a lot of people's lips. That's something that I think over the last couple of years, chatting to a lot of players and athletes from numerous different sports, I've heard a bit of, I guess there's been a bit of difference and a bit of variation in terms of what people think. I think that question has been asked and people are like, oh, you know, should we be considering esports along the likes of rugby or football, which are visibly, immediately, more so-called active, I guess, and seeing people run around a pitch. I guess in days gone by, even before esports, people asked similar questions about snooker. Darts and things like that. And you see poker, for example, on Sky Sports, certainly back in the day, being shown. It's funny because some people have asked me when I've been out at other events, other sporting events, you know, do gamers consider themselves sports people?
Or like athletes.
Like athletes. And I think what's been interesting is I've heard a bit of a mix from chatting to certain gamers at our own Pro League and other things. I don't think a lot of them are that bothered. I don't think a lot of the gamers that we have the pleasure of interacting with are that bothered. I think it's more important, I would say, just from my perspective, for them to be seen as extremely focused, extremely skillful, extremely experienced. I mean, you'd think of the hours that the three of you could tell me more about that are put into to certain games like F1, League of Legends, Rocket League. So I think it's more important for certainly the gamers I've chatted to be seen as kind of, you know, really highly skilled, which they are. And whether or not they're sports people, I think some of them have been like, yeah, whatever. It's considered now a military sport, which is fantastic in terms of, I think, of the level of support that they get and funding and some of the facilities we're now seeing pop up. Interesting that, Jonah, you were chatting Elena as well about RAF Cosford. It was great this time last year going up there to see the new gaming room that they were developing and putting in. And we know about HMS Prince of Wales as well, having a gaming room for esports, which is fantastic. So Bovingdon Camp as well was down there last year. So seeing the growth in terms of facilities and support, I think, from some of the military top brass as well has been evident to me, certainly.
I think that's the key thing, right? We say it's a sport, right? But I've always thought, even during my career and time within Army Esports, I think we always said that we'd like it to, them to eventually be separated. Obviously, the military system, esports is a very new thing. So classifying as a sport, again, like you said, allows that support, the funding, the time away from work to be able to go and participate in those events. But eventually, I feel like there needs to be a divide between esports and physical sports.
Yeah.
So that way they can govern what they do. Almost like you have, like you say, your army, your cricket.
Army's a sport now, is it? Yeah, we're just changing things in this podcast. We're pioneers.
You have your cricket, your football, your rugby. You would have your Call of Duty, your League of Legends, so on and so forth as individual sports, right? I feel like that needs to be the divide, as in the overarching needs to be esports and then your physical sport. But also, most important to highlight is that a lot of our esports athletes do consider themselves athletes, but they make sure to keep that keyword esports athlete in front of it. And a lot of them also are physical athletes as well. Yep. Like, for example, our Dilza, who is one of the key chairs of Royal Navy Rocket League, he ran the London Marathon. You know, these guys are athletes and they're spending a lot of time doing physical activity yep. as well as the esports.
You've hit the nail on the head though, and I don't know if you'll agree with this as well, obviously, Lena, from your time growing up within the military journey, you've been in the military, and obviously, so you've been around it as well for quite a long time.
Indeed.
But you're saying about separating it, the fact that we've got sports, you know, is it a sport? Esports should be separate. But I think is the key not to separate it between mental fitness and physical fitness. Have it like separate category.
I think it's a very hot topic just generally at the moment, and at the level of the FBS Pro League, I think having it just be included just to get the sort of foot in the door. But you see, it's at the top level is where you start to see it actually be considered a sport, where they've got sports psychologists now. I mean, some big organizations have physiotherapists and nutritionists. That's where I start to say, but that you can say that at any level, right? Is at what point do you consider it professional play? Like, you know, local leagues with, you know, I played football for a little league when I was 13, you know, would that count as being an athlete, or was that just something I was doing as a hobby? So I think it's one of those, it's really weird to define, because it's a lot more of a grey area. It's more what you as an individual would do you consider yourself an athlete or not?
Yeah, it just wanted to say on that, on those two excellent points about the nutrition and the fitness. A couple of years ago when we covered Code Bowl in Washington, D.C. and saw the Call of Duty players there from our three services, the U.S. and Canadians as well. And we got chatting to Roxanne from the Canadian Air Force team, and she was saying that, you know, there is a bit more scrutiny on how fit they are. And chatting to Jamie, who was then the RAF captain at Code Bowl, he said, you know, as Jonah put it, you know, we're fit outside of doing this anyway. We have a level of fitness we're expected to reach. And also, I think it would be remiss not to talk about the incredible fitness in terms of motor skills and concentration, how much energy is required over those hours of gaming to keep going and keep focused, which is an incredibly difficult thing, you know. And you can't be carried, it, to some extent, you know, I think there are certain sports in which you might have an off moment or you switch off for a second and you're carried by your teammates. But in you know, some of the sports we're looking at in esports, you can't really afford to do that at all. No. Or you'll not make a team, or you'll not win for your team or something.
Yeah, completely agree. Talking about COBOL, because we've actually spoken about this a little bit, me and you, Si. But who was it who won? Was it last year?
The Royal Air Force. Yeah.
No. Because I think
trying
it's
to
really
get a
like...
trying to get a nibble.
I know. Do you see how I looked at Trina then?
Over here. Yeah.
So you getting in on the rage betting as well now?
Absolutely.
It's a circular thing today. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, don't worry. Your time's coming.
Oh, dear.
So let's talk about, obviously, because that was out in America.
Yeah.
Is the American, like the US Forces esports team, is that a lot further ahead than where the British Forces one is? Did it start a lot longer ago?
Well, they've separate, so like us, they have separate services, and they've got, you know, the six, I think there were half a dozen services there in Washington, D.C. for that competition. And I think what I noticed was that there were things that are, you know, players were picking up from theirs. But there was a lot of kind of, if you like, cross-pollination and chatting about ideas and chatting about sort of their routines and their expectations as well. So I think it's pretty similar, actually. And just amazing to see the level at which these teams are playing and how close the competition is. We went to Sunderland up at the National Esports Centre a couple of weeks before that trip, and we were chatting to the Royal Air Force team at that time and the Army guys as well. And one of the RAF guys who was reserve was saying, yeah, you know, it was a tiny number of kills. Can't remember exactly how many he missed out on making the team. Mm. But we always talk, don't we, in sports about these inches and small margins. My word, it's tiny. It's incredible. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't want to waste any time, but can you just explain again, like Cold Bowl, for anybody who hasn't been, about the setup?
Yeah, the Call of Duty event, Code Bowl, Call of Duty Endowment Fund, hence the name Code, for anyone who might not know. And the setup was incredible when we were there a couple of years ago. And I actually probably should have counted the number of computer sort of banks that were there. And the building museum in Washington, D.C. is absolutely huge. You've got all these columns rising to the ceiling. And probably a couple of hundred, I would say, computer banks. We had ESPN Sports Center type kind of semicircular punditry desks. They had, I don't know how many camera guys, runners. They had catering brought in. They you know, sort of left nothing to chance, I suppose, in a way. And we were there, you know, covering it, myself and two others from the company, for probably 12, 14 hours that day. A huge day and an amazing one. And you know, it reminded me when we did Pro League last September. It reminded me just how big those days are, of course, and having to G yourself up, as you two know, you know better than me, having to G yourself up in terms of that, I guess, overcoming those nerves, right? Is an amazing thing too. So going abroad to do that is a pretty impressive thing for the RAF last year.
Yeah. And something that you actually mentioned recently, Jonah, about a few people not being able to make some of the competitions because of like exercises or courses and was it a bayonet?
Someone was doing a bayonet.
Oh, that was Jack Lemmon, wasn't it? Because his voice going all croaky. Yeah. So do you know the answer to this? I don't know. Within the British military, within esports, bearing in mind it's a fairly new official sport, do they get the same benefits that some people who are competing like for rugby union, for example, would get in terms of if they're overseas, do they get the leave to come back? Are they getting the same benefits?
Well, what do you think, Jonah? I mean, do you want to go first on this?
Excuse me from the exercise, sir.
Please, sir, can I just bunk off this exercise to go play Call of Duty?
Please.
I think the bottom line is career comes first. As everyone in the military says, no matter what in the army specifically, although we have a specialised role, like I was a medic, we're soldiers first, right? And that's the blanket rule. I'll actually touch a little bit on the US here, and I'm going to rage bait them a little bit. And it's that, so the United States military actually have roles in their organisations specifically for their athletes. So they are esports athletes full time. So they don't do a day job.
That's what I'm talking about, the comparison.
Like but then obviously our personnel is a category 2 sport, meaning that we're not quite at the stage of getting full backing, but we're at the stage now where we are getting a lot of support time away from our activity and things like that to go and do these things. And somehow, this is where the rage bait comes in, we're still outperforming the Americans. So
you heard it here,
bravo,
folks.
Bravo. Bravo, United Kingdom. We do produce the best esports athletes per capita. Little fun fact for you.
Why do you think that is? In terms of, it, obviously you're saying about resources and everything. What do you think it is that makes our esports performers outdo?
We have pedigree esports potential in the United Kingdom. And
pedigree, love
it. I think Europe as a whole has some of the best esports athletes out there, especially I'd say up there is United Kingdom, Sweden. I don't know about you, Elena, like Finland maybe.
Yes, the CIS sort of region has a lot of talent.
Why do you think?
A lot of it, I think, is server location. Is that in the UK you get access to the servers in the UK and France, and you still get good latency on the German servers, and you can play with people in Europe and wider afield.
Yeah.
Which gives you a wider pool of talent than America, where it's sort of very you could play with people in your state and people in the US, but not really anywhere else. It's the reason that Australia doesn't have very much esports talent in that way. We also, UK humble brag here, produce the best broadcast talent for esports.
We do.
But that's because the universal language of esports seems to be English.
Yeah.
And the accents help with that a little bit.
Although we were talking about this the other day, the Spanish commentators
for Valorant.
For Valorant specifically.
They're amazing.
Are absolutely
and the Brazilian stage hosts. I mean, there's definitely gems and stuff, but I think Europe's amazing because it's just sort of a centralized hub in what is a very global industry. It's just where you have the highest density of regions and other countries that you can play with. So I reckon it's that problem.
Really interesting.
We're back onto training, I guess. Following back to that. I think the rule is job first, esports second. I think is the global, and the thing is esports athletes agree with that as well. Like, then no one's going to be like, oh no, I don't want to go on exercise. I mean, obviously there's some certain exercise in certain locations, Salisbury Plain, that people don't want to go to.
As someone from Salisbury, I can agree.
We can verify, I lived there for long enough.
Let's talk about, because I find this again another really interesting point, whilst we're like sort of trying to dust away that stigma of, is it a sport? What are our esports athletes getting out of it in terms of, because I've seen so many Forces News articles about this online, Si, when we talk about transferable skills.
That's a huge one. That's a massive one in terms of transferable skills. And what's interesting is, I think from what I've seen over the last couple of years, it's almost this kind of circular thing in a way that we've heard at first, when I started getting involved with esports coverage a couple of years ago with BFPS, we heard a lot about how gaming and how participating in esports tournaments especially was beneficial for the day jobs of numerous personnel, be it in the Royal Navy, the Army, or the RAF. And that's pretty clear to see. And we know that obviously you've got the likes of teamwork, which everyone talks about so highly as being a critical skill for the military. And they talk about the ability to perform under pressure and adversity and all the rest. I think what's interesting now as well is you're seeing, if you like, the other side of talking about skills, which is that people coming in potentially to the military are coming in from gaming backgrounds, which is extremely beneficial for not only their gaming performances if they join some of these military teams, but also their careers. And some of those motor skills, be it for, I don't know, some of the cyber skills that you're looking at in the various forces or drones or things like that, are second nature to some of these younger personnel who are coming in to the forces. So I think it's pretty cool that you're seeing it, if you like, both ways. Hopefully explain that well enough. But I think it's pretty cool to see that, you know, esports is right at the heart of what it seems the military is looking for from the next recruits. But also, yeah, what a great basis to brag about our forces and how they're outperforming, as Jonah was saying, other nations.
Yeah, 100%. And when we've talked about the history of gaming the last couple of weeks, it's only just really properly occurred to me that we are well and truly now getting the generations where gaming is so easily accessible at home. Mm. Everyone's got some sort of console now. So it's right. The next generations that are going to go into the military have grown up with the technology. And as technology is changing and there's more and more technology being brought into, well, military warfare, I suppose, when you mentioned drones, boom, they've got the skill. Have you seen some of the photos? It does look like an Xbox controller.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. In some most cases, they are.
I think
Xbox
they are,
controller.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Especially in the, like, I know the British Army is slowly catching up with modern technology, but back years previous, especially like during the Afghan War and everything like that, the drones were physically controlled with an Xbox controller. Mm. The reason for that is that familiarity for the user to be like, "Wow, it's just like being on the Xbox." But yeah, and as Si said, we have evidence to show that esports is playing well into people's roles. I mean, just as we spoke about last week, with the Churchill medal being awarded to signaller Sean Acker from 13 Signals Reg, an avid esports participant, now going leaps and bounds and getting a prestigious award for his work in his day job, right? Like, the evidence is there. It's not an argument. It's proof's in the pudding, right? We're producing high level and highly intelligent soldiers as a product from, or I wouldn't say just from esports, but esports certainly has a key role to play in that.
You know, it's really interesting, I must say, on a similar point, is to see the competitive nature with which other sports people who might dabble in some games, not to a professional level, not to the level of esports stars that we have in the military, but so, you know, some of the rugby players that we talk to, some of the cricketers, when they're talking to us sometimes about esports, they're very curious, and that curiosity is only increasing. They're going, "Oh yeah, I play a bit of, you know, be it Rocket League or whatever they might play, FIFA in the past and things like that, F1. It's cool. It shows how much it's getting into the psyche of other athletes out there, and it shows how much they're kind of not wanting to feel, if you like, left behind by this esports. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's pretty cool as well. And I wonder, you know, I think what was great was thinking of a couple of months ago when we covered the inter-services cricket at Lords, the men's T20, and Jonah and Owen and Rob were all there with the sim rigs and some of the different games that you had to show some of the fans who were in attendance. And anytime I went out from the commentary box down to see the guys, you must have had a queue, what, 20 deep? All day.
You're going to need another sim rig.
Yeah, definitely.
It's us now.
Oh, yeah. That is so true. We're going to need another sim rig. Yeah.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I know that we've barely scratched the surface. Si, I hope you can come back on with us at some point before the grand final of the BFBS Pro League. But thank you so much. Obviously, our sports guru, Simon Hunter, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime. And look, looking ahead to next week, it's a big one.
With a big man himself.
If you haven't gathered, next week, it's on the approach to Father's Day. We are going to be joined by Jojo Joppy's daddy.
Papa Anvil. Papa.
I can't believe you're allowing Papa your dad Jop. To speak to your colleagues. Do you know how dangerous of a game you're playing?
Do you feel vulnerable at the moment?
Like, I'm scared. I'm actually terrified. Like,
well,
the minefield.
You go take a nap, right? Embrace yourself for Father's Day next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Please do hit follow, subscribe. Hey, there's a comments box. Drop us a comment, because then we can talk about you next week. On
The Lobby!